But now I do want to see her just because curiosity. Oh, gosh, Chuck. Man, I hope you guys love watching my mistakes because I probably just shook a queen off of this hive. Oh, boy. Hey, live and learn. You guys watching Chuck make mistakes, dropping. I was looking for a brand new queen who was just unreleased from a cage and she doesn't know her way around yet. So she very easily could be sitting on the ground. This is where you gotta have this inner monologue that says, be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful. Don't drop it, don't drop it. And wouldn't you know, I dropped it. Hey everybody, it's Chuck. Welcome back. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about today, but we're going to see where it goes. Actually, I have one thing I want to talk to you about. Look, I've even got something set up, so I set you up for that. There's just a lot of chores going on right now in the apiary, so I figured I'd just bring you along with me on my journey. As you guys know, if you've been watching my channel, I've got lots of mini mating nukes going on right now, about 20 of them right now, all in some stage of either queenless because I've gotten rid of the queen, sold her, or put her in another nuke. With queens laying eggs and a handful of dead. I've got 21 queen cells in the incubator right now that are gonna be ready to be called ripe. Ripe is when a queen cell is getting ready to hatch, right? A cap cell is when it's completely in its cocoon and it's got all the feed it's gonna get all the way through the pupation cycle till hatching. So you can take them out of the parent hive and put them in the incubator if you want to let that hive go back to normal or start another layer of grafting. But cells are not ripe until they're getting ready to hatch, like the next day is typically what you call a ripe cell. So capped and ripe are a little bit different. So they will be ripe on Monday and ready to go inside of a mini mating nuke like one of these. The grafts I did, I didn't show this on video, maybe we'll show it today. I took out of the starter, I had 48 grafts again, and I put into the finisher, and only two didn't take. So I got 46 out of 48 on that take, and it's in a hive. And I did something different for the first time on that hive, and maybe we'll talk about it in the apiary in detail. But I did a double screen board split back at the beginning of the season with a strong hive. I took a bunch of the brood, I put it atop of the double screen board, and let the bottom hive kind of continue to grow out to prevent swarming. And then I put a queen cell in there that was ripe from my February 14th grafts. And those are already laying because they're all that first batch that are laying right now. That was a blue queen that started laying. I took her out 2 days ago and requeened another hive with that blue queen. So now I have the parent hive down below that was part of the split. And then the above the double screen board raised a new queen, but I took her out. So that above the screen board was now queenless. So I said, hey, you know what? I've got a situation where I can do some more grafts and use that queenless state for a day as a starter. So it was kind of a neat thing that I hadn't thought of, but it was kind of a work it into your grafting situation. So I essentially grafted 48 cells. I put them on top of the double screen board into that hive that was queenless for a handful of hours. And that was the take I got. I got 46 out of 48. And then after the starter, and to create a free-flying finisher, what I did, and I don't know how it's going, so maybe we'll check on that a little bit later, is I lifted the board off with the grafts in there. I took off the double screen board, and I put on a queen excluder. And then I put that box back on top of the queen excluder. So now I was recombining two deep boxes into the single parent hive like it was before the split, because our flow here in Jacksonville is, I don't say any day now, there's nectar coming in, but they're not adding more weight than they're consuming. But historically, on the years I've been tracking it, the flow where they start adding on more weight than they're consuming is imminent in the next week or two. So I was like, I'm gonna recombine these so they can get to know each other again, and then it's time to super, basically. So that was kind of a neat thing I did. I guess it's worth sharing, and I described it to you verbally, so we'll talk about it in the apiary too, because now that I described it, I'm like, that was actually a pretty convenient trick. At least the starter portion worked well. We'll take a look at day two and see if they're accepting those cells and that they're getting along. I also didn't do a newspaper combine. I just added it on top, but with a queen excluder in between, and a queen excluder isn't quite a newspaper combined, but it does slow the bees going back and forth a little bit. So we'll see if those sisters got along, because they were pretty much true sisters. Well, look at that. And then in some of the hives I've got, especially my resource hives, such as my long Langstroths I have, because the long Langstroths are not for making honey, they're for making bees, resources and requeening and things like that. I'm gonna go ahead and get some bees to charge up these mini mating nukes. I've got a separate video from a couple years ago. It's actually one of my top five videos, actually. On my website, I have a section, chuckshoneybees.com. I've got a section that, you know, lists the whatever YouTube says are the most viewed videos over the last 3 or 4 years, and that charging these mini mating nukes is one of them. I've got a different style mating nuke that came. I love just trying things out. If they don't work, I'll throw them away. These are these Chinese ones, so take that like what you want. They're cheap, disposable almost. But this one came with this plastic feeder, because one of the problems with these nukes is the feeders that you get in them can sometimes leak. If it's just a styrofoam insert, let me tell you what, you better coat it with that some sort of sealant, whether it be epoxy or something, because those styrofoam ones will have manufacturing leaks in them. But this version came with a plastic one, which I like. The ones you buy off of Man Lake, there's an accessory you can buy that actually is a plastic insert, but it's extra and it costs more money. This one has a rather large feeder. I'm using this, I believe this is number 5 hardware cloth for a ladder in here so that they don't drown. You need to put something in here so that they don't drown. But this one, oddly enough, it's got these plastic frames, and I went ahead and put some black foundation and waxed it up in there. So these are ready to build out. But you'll see all the parts on these are normal. It's got the door, it's got the vent, it's got the bottom vent. But this doesn't have a queen excluder feature to go into the feeder like every other one of these little mini mating nukes I've had does. So now with my little plastic inner cover I create, and I put hard glue gun glue right here in the edge so I can lift up the front and access the bees, and I can lift up the back and feed them. And generally I can service these without opening the hive and let them all kind of free fly around, especially if there's virgins in here. If you guys watched that video from the other day, I had a virgin just fly right out. I did catch her. So this style does not have the queen excluder. So the queen could get in this feeder, which I'm not gonna poo-poo on it yet. But if a queen dies in this one, you know, I may not get this one again. And maybe my number 5 cloth in there will prevent her from drowning if she does fall in there. There is room, you know, underneath my cloth, there is room for her to get in there. So anyway, I just wanted to show you guys that. I'm working on that. But what we're going to do is we're going to charge these. And I've got 2 empty ones. Excuse me. And I've got, I think over here on my fence line that you've seen me work before, I've got 2 dead outs that don't have a queen in them, and there's not enough bees to add a cell in there. So I'll just call those dead outs, and I'll bring them over and we'll charge them up too. So I think I'll have at least 4 of these that need bees. And the way I do that is with a wash tub bucket, and you do need some sort of tub. You know, this is the perfect size for me. You know, you could use a big old hive butler. You know, if you like the hive butler, if you hadn't seen a hive butler, I loved them at first. I found I didn't use them for their unique features, meaning like, you know, the fact they've got like a frame rest and spots. I was just using it as a tub. And I was like, well, that's not very cost effective. I'm not poo-pooing on it. It's a good product. They make them well. They're nice to have around, and also glad to support beekeepers that are making products for beekeepers, because that sort of innovation is really necessary in this industry. I did talk to them at NABE, at the North American Honeybee Expo. This lid is not UV resistant. And I leave mine outside because I used to just keep gearing it. And the way this is molded, see how this is just kind of injection molded? Some of these corners here get a little thin on the injection. And I've had 2 lids that started leaking because they cracked, and the UV essentially was just making the plastic deteriorate. And as it rained, these little indentations hold water, and then water was going in my bucket, and effectively I was losing the functionality I was after, was being able to keep a tub of supplies outside in the rain and or sprinklers, and it wouldn't get wet. So I commented on that. This does need to be UV tolerant for beekeepers, because we all don't keep our gear inside. But those are my thoughts on the hive butler. Well, I brought the hive butler out, not to talk about it specifically, was that you can shake bees in here too, because ultimately you just need something to shake bees into. And the reason you shake bees into the tub is very similar to the reason you shake bees into a tub, preferably, during a mite check, is you want the nurse bees. And the nurse bees are the bees that don't naturally fly off. I'm not gonna say they can't fly, but I'm gonna say they're young enough that they haven't flown much, and they're pretty content just to kind of walk around. Those are your nurse bees. And just like they're the ones tending the brood and might have the varroa mites on them, those are also the ones you want to charge your mini mating nukes with, because you want the ones that are ready to develop wax, because these need to start from scratch, just like a swarm does. And while a swarm has some older bees in it, they're, I guess, genetically primed to generate wax when they swarm, because they've got this survival instinct that tells them that's what they have to do, is start building a new home. When you just dump bees into one of these mini mating nukes, if you get a lot of workers, and you open this, and as soon as you open this, they're gonna go off and do whatever. They're foragers. They're not into making a new hive in this configuration very much. I'm not saying you can't adapt them, and there are some tricks like containing them, but if you're gonna shake bees into a bucket, leave them there for a few minutes, maybe even rattle them around a little bit, spray them with some water just to make them a little bit wet, just so they kind of clump together, but shake them around and get those foragers out of there. And then you take a cup or a scoop of some sort. A big cup doesn't help. And I used to do them from the bottom. I've stopped doing that because if you've got any sugar in here, you just dumped it out. So you gotta, if there's nothing in here, you can do it from the bottom, but I've just come to the habit of taking out the middle frame, taking a scoop of these bees, maybe a scoop and a half, dumping it in there, gently setting this back in there, maybe not even pushing it, letting it rest with gravity back in there, and then close it up. And then close this up so they can't get out, and make sure that vent is open. So they've got air coming in here, and they got air exiting or entering there. And now you've got a cup and a half of bees, say 300 to 500 bees in here, that need to stay in a cool, dark place without a queen cell for a few days. You can put a queen cell in here right away, but you gotta remember, just like our queen ring back there making nukes, they're not queenless yet in their own sensation, pheromones and things like that. It takes about a day for them to realize they're queenless and kind of realize their new place in life and go, well, I guess this is home. And then they start consuming that sugar water you gotta give them, because that sugar water with young nurse bees generates the wax flakes that come off of the abdomen. You ever been looking at your frames and you see tiny little white things coming off the undersides of the bees? You're like, what the heck is that? Are they shedding? No, those are tiny little wax flakes. That's what the other bees come and pull off of them and then go chew up and put in the, and how they make wax. Wax is generated from young nurse bees that are consuming very thin syrup or natural nectar. It's how it works. Like, you might wonder, well, why don't bees generate very much wax in the summer? There's no nectar flow unless you're feeding them. You can stimulate them to generate wax with sugar water, thin sugar water, not 2-to-1, 1-to-1 or thinner, typically. And those are the nurse bees. So that's what we put in here. The ones that are ready to make wax genetically and through their age and having sugar water in here. God, I'm talking a lot. I didn't even think we had anything to talk about today. Okay, so we're gonna charge up some of those. We're gonna take a look at our queen cells to see, I'm gonna talk about that double screen board thing, because now that I described it, I think that would be good. And we'll walk around the apiary, and gosh, I hope this video doesn't become an hour long like the last one. Although there were quite a few of you that stuck around and watched the full hour of that last one. Thank you for that. Hey, listen, if you're here at the middle of this video, at the end of the Bee Lab, and you like this kind of content, if you, maybe like the energy I bring to backyard beekeeping, or just want to enjoy the journey maybe while you're waiting on spring, hit subscribe down there to the channel. I'm trying to grow it. It's not about the money. It's just about the group and the comments and the energy. I learned so much from those of you that take time to make a comment and tell me something you didn't learn. Matter of fact, I'm going to talk about it in the apiary today. There were like 3 or 4 of you that told me about my little cork on the smoker idea. They're just laying on the side. I'll be darned if that isn't easy. So I'm going to do that maybe. My smokers are on their sides right now. So thank you to those of you that taught me that trick just by sharing on the video. And those of you that watch these videos, you might want to read the comments, not for what I got to say, but for what everyone else has to say. There is a lot of knowledge out there. And if there isn't one thing that social media is good for, it's aggregating information from a group you may never interact with in your normal life. So that's what the purpose of this is, and the sharing of the information, and maybe why I ask you to subscribe. I don't want to schlep that, but I just want you to know that it doesn't take much for you to subscribe, and it does do a lot for the channel and for the interaction. All right, let's get into the apiary and start seeing some bees. All right, everybody, I'm back in the apiary. Thanks for sticking with me. Yeah, so that smoker thing, you know, I did this demo the other day with this thing, and I put it up here, and I, you know, stuck it in there, and that works great. Couple people, what they were saying is because the little hole is down here, the smoke is done through essentially rising hot air, right? You know, so, but if you lay it on its side, you kind of break the hot air rising cycle through it, which is a good idea. So I'm going to continue to try that. I'm a beginner with that technique, so I'm not selling it as my own yet. But anyway, that's what I was talking about. Just leave your smoker on the side, recognizing this is hot. So this cage is probably pretty important depending on what you set it on. So if you have one without a cage, then if you set it on something plastic or that can melt, you might need to be careful with it. Obviously these things do get very, very hot. Okay, so this is the hive that I used as my starter that was a double screen board split. Let me talk you through what I had. I already mentioned it once, but I'm gonna say it. So these are my double screen boards. My opening is the size of a nucleus. If I ever want to set a nucleus on here, it's the same size, and I can close this up. That's why this is so big. You can even see there's some of my cardboard from my oxalic acid strips that's stuck in between here from with them chewing it out. I'm gonna have to figure out how to get that out there, or maybe shoot it with some water. But this double screen board went right here in the middle, which makes this top hive queenless. And then I put a queen cell in there a few weeks ago. She came back mated and was laying eggs, and these guys were doing great. So I'm gonna just gonna show you that. We're gonna pop this open. But what I did was when I took that queen cell out, I'm sorry, when I took the blue queen out that had successfully mated and was laying eggs, I left them alone above that double screen board for a day and made them queenless. And then I used them as a starter to raise some queen cells. So this generally being opened up is a good sign, because remember, I also recombined these hives. So this had a different queen than this one, and I just stuck them together with a queen excluder, which is right down here, to make them sisters again. But I left my queen cells up top, and I told you I had 46 that started, so it's going to be an interesting little side experiment just to see if all 46 are still going. I do need to go through here and look for queen cells. Remember, because I essentially made it queenless, right? And I recombined it. So I don't want to create a swarming situation. What do you guys think? Let me smoke them down and show you. They haven't broken anything down that I put in here yesterday. So that's where we're at. 46, still going. So that was a pretty good technique. I'm going to call it success so far. Now, because these were three-day-old larvae, at the day I started this, any brood cells in here, I'm going to set this down carefully because these are my cells. There could be queen cells started on some of these other frames that need to be broken down, right? Because we don't want to generate extra queen cells. I can probably come back in here tomorrow as they get bigger, but the size of those cells over there is about the size that cells could be in here. So I'm just going to quickly look for queen cells in the top of this hive, because they could have started them. And gosh, those of you that watch my failed demo ray split, oh man, nothing like going to work, creating a timing problem. Those of you who don't know, I'm a pilot, and when I go for several days, but when I'm home, I'm home, which is great for beekeeping. You just gotta time it right. Nothing there. So far, so good. One of these had a lot of larvae in it. Matter of fact, I think I even used this as the breeder queen. Lots of larvae in here. If there was a queen cell, it would probably be on one of these cells. Yeah, it's got that milky look to it, but I didn't see any yet. It's not over yet. They could
they've still got the urge, they will create a queen cell. Looking good there. After this check, we'll call this. God, lots of food. You know, this hive, if it wasn't the 15th of March, this would be another swarm candidate. But I think I'm going to be okay. Mark my words. Listen to me. I think I'm going to be okay. Okay, so I'm going to leave this up here on top of a queen excluder as a finisher. They'll be ready here in, I don't know, about a little over a week. I've got my calendar on there. Those of you, I have this queen calendar I've talked about many times. It's on my website, chuckatchuckshoneybees.com. It's under the resources tab. I've also got a video on it. There's lots of places you guys can find it. But if you're just looking for things I talk about and people ask me many times, I try to just put them on my website so I can just direct people there versus having to attach things to emails and stuff like that. So I'm just going to write a note that everything looked good one day later in the finisher. So 14 cells look good. Simple notes that I understand. So this is now a finisher. Mated queen, continuing to grow from the split that I made with the, you know, I made it a vertical split with a double screen board here. Once this queen hatched out from her cell and became mated, I marked her blue and I took her out and I used her somewhere in the apiary I needed her. But then this was queenless. So while this double screen board was still in place, I'm like, hey, let me put some queen cell grafts in here. So I put the grafts in there. Next day, came back to check the grafts. They had started 46 of 48. So I took the double screen board out, put a queen excluder in, set the top back on. So now I recombined this hive. So now this is a one hive with one queen, queen excluder in the middle, and they'll continue to grow those cells up in there. And when they're capped, I can take them out and put them in the incubator or perhaps leave them in here till they're ripe, depending on what the strength of this hive is. But with the flow getting ready to come on, this could be a demarray candidate again, because if it continues to grow and I can try that again, because it's got essentially a double combine. That's the beauty of the double screen board. It really, you know, I split the hive, but in place. I didn't need to take it somewhere else. At the same time, I raised a queen and now I'm using it as a starter finisher. So that's what I wanted to tell you about this. I think it was a good story. I think it was a good lesson. I learned something just doing it. It wasn't something I've ever done before, but so far it looks like it was a success getting those cells capped. And I'm starting to get to the point I've got too many queens. I don't have the actual equipment to breed that many queens. So having such good success rate is almost a burden. Okay, a couple other things. You coming with me? Yeah, come on with me. This hive over here had a, let me get my smoker, had a blue queen that I introduced because I had a no eggs from, I put a cell in here and it did not come back mated, so they needed a queen. So I took a blue queen and introduced her in a cage. And see how this, how strong this is? This is a single that needs space. And that was another subject I didn't talk about in the bee lab that we're gonna talk about today, because I'm gonna get in here and double check that the blue queen is in here and they didn't kill her, because I wanna make sure this has got its queen right. I don't want to have a queenless hive out here in my production area. They just got this queen, so she just should be moseying around in here laying an egg or two. If I see any eggs, I know she's in here and I don't need to look any further, because that means they let her lay. But you know, introductions aren't always 100%. You know, a lot of people might think, oh, just leave her alone, she'll be fine. She might be, but the flow was starting here. And because I got so many queens, I need to kind of know if she's in here, because I can give her another one if they didn't. This is a pretty white wax frame that definitely could be used for egg laying if she was laying. Didn't see any eggs there. Kind of getting to the middle here where I'm hoping I'm gonna see her or evidence of laying. Not yet. Uh-oh. Starting to get worried. You guys worried with me? Can you feel my anxiety? Ah, there she is. Okay, so she's in here. So she is walking around
with her new home. She's mated. I pulled her from a hive that I knew had already been mated. So done. This is a requeened hive. It took two queens though, because the first one didn't come back mated. Did not come back successfully. Meaning like she probably got purple martined. But because this hive is now queened and growing, I don't want them to swarm. Now, there's a couple schools of thought. There's no brood in here. It's been queenless a while. Where are they going to go? But they need space. You kind of saw all the bees in here. They're not going to use this very much, but this is just the time of year. I'm going to super up. Just because, hey, they can come up here and start cleaning it. They can start to shift roles towards, you know, taking care of this wax. They got a new queen that's going to be laying up down there pretty good because she's a this year's queen. So perfect example of when to super up. Flows a few weeks off. You got a hive that's growing. It doesn't need splitting right now. And the reason it doesn't need splitting in this hive situation is because it's got a brand new queen and there's not a whole lot of cap root in there. So I'm just going to put on here four. I'm going to put B with a circle, which means I saw the blue queen, and then I'm going to say super. And that's obvious. Look what I left that here. I left my beetle trap out. Got to get that in there. I don't have a huge beetle problem. I'm taking care of them pretty good. But I like to have traps in there so I can kind of monitor how many I catch. And that kind of tells me my state. All righty. On to the next one. All right, so we've talked about the double screen board. We've talked about supering up a little bit and when to super, the demarray possibility over there. Let's go over to some of those mating nukes. We're working our way. Remember, we're going to charge those mating nukes, but there's a couple of these. All right, everybody. Hey, this is filmed out of sequence, because I forgot to do it after a very dramatic story that happens in a few minutes. So you gotta wait to the end of this video. I actually got so busy doing that other thing that you're gonna see here in a minute that I forgot to do the charging of these boxes. So let's go ahead and knock that out. Let me get my smoker. We're taking some bees out of the Long Lang. And this one right over here, I've got marked as a strong hive, and I haven't touched it since it looks like the 10th. So we're 4 days later. It's got a red queen. She could probably be a queen, but if I've got a strong one, especially in a non-production honey hive, yeah, nice number of bees. So when I'm looking for shakes, the most important thing about doing shakes is don't shake your queen. So I got to find the queen. So my technique is I pull the end frames off, as you guys see me do 1,000 times. I just go through and find her. Sometimes the very end frame is harder to get at than the second to last frame. Just a technique I've evolved to. Looking for the queen. She should be first shot. There she is. She's a red dotted queen. So this is gonna be quick and easy now that I found her, assuming the population is good enough in here to shake. But she's making drone brood. They could swarm if, an old queen like a red queen probably is ready to be requeened, and I probably will do that after, well, maybe with some of these extra queens I've got. So I put her in the cage. Make sure she's in there. Yep. Set her in a safe spot. Now on this end frame, there's drone brood in there. That's not the frame I'm looking for. I want nurse bees that are hatching and a lot of them. I got four boxes to do, so I need four cups. So see frames like this. There's some drones in there too. Good cap frames like that. You can do a mite check at the same time. I'm trying to keep everything in frame here so you guys can see, but the workers are going back home. I'm after the nurses. In a strong hive, now that I've got the queen, I could arguably shake every bee I want and let the workers go back and they'll keep going. And if I got more than I need, then I'll just dump them back in here. I mean, you have to leave enough to cover the brood, but a strong hive like this in springtime with a flow starting. But
this is a good example. This is the Red Queen. That's not a perfect pattern. She's getting old. But she's still laying drones. She's still laying. So you just got to decide when to do it. This is not as important a hive to me for booming because it's a Langstroth, long Langstroth hive. It's for resources, but when the timing is right, see that pattern? That's a 2-year-old queen's pattern. These oxalic strips are done. You can just tell when they're done. Nothing left in them, they're just cardboard. This feels like honey. Probably not the best. Eh, there's some brood on there. Spotty. Okay, that's enough bees, probably more than enough. So, what I like to do is continue to let these fly and get your boxes ready. Remember what I told you back in the bee lab? I like to take the middle frame out and I've got it there. This is 1 cup. So if you got enough bees, 1.5 cups is good. But there's 1 cup. All right, close it up. Make sure the door's closed. That's done. Sure the door is closed and that's done. Do I have enough for another one? Maybe one more. Gonna need another shake for. These hives are gonna get some more, but I'll have to do another shake, but I can do that off camera another time. So yeah, that's how I do it. I shake them, look, find the queen, put this hive back together. I'll do that here in a second. These two are ready to go. They need to go at a cool, dark place until they're kind of acclimated. It takes about 48, 36 hours to do that. And then, yeah. Okay. So now let's get back to our regularly scheduled program. We got to check for these cage queens. Stick with me. You know, you guys like this view. I know, because you told me you prefer it. Talk to me in the comments, peeps. That's how I learn. I am a continuous learner. So now what I'm reading, remember these four were queenless and they needed cage. So I got cage B, cage B, cage B, some things like that. So those cages are what I'm looking for now. This was 2 days ago. So I want a successful release evidence. Don't need to really see eggs, but I want to see her walking around on the comb like I did on the other one. And these three framers, I just be gentle because she could be on any frame. Looking for evidence of eggs. A little bit of comb damage from scruffing up on the cage right there. And here's where the cage is, and I can see in there, and it is candy chewed out. So that means she is out. Nice brood frame. My cage off. She could still be in here. She may say, well, this was my home for a few days. Let me just stay in here. So don't assume she's out. No, I don't see her in there. Okay, so that's going in my pocket. But now I do want to see her just because curiosity. Oh, gosh, Chuck. Man, I hope you guys love watching my mistakes because I probably just shook a queen off of this hive. Oh boy. Hey, live and learn. You guys watching Chuck make mistakes, dropping. I was looking for a brand new queen who was just unreleased from a cage and she doesn't know her way around yet. So she very easily could be sitting on the ground. This is where you got to have this inner monologue that says, be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful. Don't drop it. Don't drop it. And wouldn't you know, I dropped it. You know, she's bigger than every bug on here, so she probably was the first thing to drop just because of gravity. All right, so now, what do you do if you think you dropped your queen? She might find her way back, but she never oriented to this hive. So she doesn't have what I would call direction finding. She was supposed to sit in here and lay and not go anywhere. Look at me, she wasn't on that frame. Man, are my butterfingers today. So now what I'm looking for is her down here. Right now is not the best time to look for her because she could be crawling around. But in a few minutes down here, you will see a ball of bees on her because she's mated. This could be an amazing lesson if I find her. All right, we're gonna let this play out. Just like I said, I'm gonna leave this hive alone. Whew, man. Those of you commercial guys, if there are any commercial guys that watch, are just giggling right now watching me. This one did not have a cage. I'm gonna leave this one be for a little bit because I need those bees to find their queen. She may be in the bottom in there. I don't know. I just didn't see her. Same situation here. Don't drop her. Don't drop her, Chuck. Don't drop her. And there's my cage. Checking for the queen in the cage. Not in there. You know, this unscripted stuff is actually better for lessons anyway. Because if everything was perfect, you never learn anything really other than what you could read in a book, but... Ah, blue queen, done, released, found her. That was what was supposed to happen on the last one. I just didn't get to look at the back before I dropped them. All right, so cage. So I'm gonna write on here, 14, blue circle. This one was marked as blue cage, but weak. So this one might need some bees. Or a frame of capped or something like that if I find one. You guys still see me? All right, slowly weak hive. Obviously not a lot of bees on this. Don't drop her, Chuck. All right, no queen in there, so she should be inside. Blue queen, she's on there. Middle frame, just like she should be, just like the one I dropped over there. Oh gosh. Weak hive, need some bees. That could use a shake. Maybe not a frame or a capped brood. Mark, mark, mark. Caged, found her. This one had found virgin on it. Cage, I scratched out the cage. So in that drama of that virgin being found and flown around, she laid up in here. So if I see a virgin that needs marking, I'm gonna do that. No evidence of eggs there. I saw a virgin in here and I closed him up quick, so I know there was a bee in here. He might still be out mating. I don't know what her ate. It didn't make sense that I found a virgin unless it was one that just kind of got lost, but there was one in here. All right, didn't see any evidence of egg laying, so I'm just gonna put them back together. They seem content. They're not very pissy, as I would say. Not any wax on here to worry about. Okay. So now, where's the blue queen over here? So this is what I want you to take away from this. You drop a queen. She's mated. She doesn't know where home is. She's got pheromones out the wazoo. She might fly to a frame. So now you're going to start looking for fanning behavior. She's not on this frame. This frame was out to give room. You drop bees in here. I left them alone for a few minutes. In your mind, kind of walk through this with me. And if I find her, I'll show you on camera. Imagine her just crawling around down there on those tall blades of grass, trying to find home or trying to find something. There were a lot of bees that dropped here. If they see a queen down there, and especially a mated one, they are going to just cluster on her almost like a swarm, a little ball of bees. That's what you're looking for. So this is where, if you think she's on the ground, don't be stomping around without looking where you're stepping. She could be walking right between your legs and then you squish her. Done that. Lesson learned. But more than likely, if she isn't on the bottom, and I'll look there too, I'm going to come around front and I'm just going to kind of look for a grouping of bees that might have found her for me and look for the behaviors. So can you guys see me? No, you can't. Let me see if I can do this. This is on the fly cameraman recording. This is why I need a producer. Anybody want to be my producer? Pay's not very good. All right. I'm going to bring you down here with me. And we're going to get on our hands and knees. I'm in my bee suit. Don't need a smoker. I'm looking at the behavior. Are they fanning? No. There's a little cluster of bees here. But they don't look like they're bawling or, you know, holding onto a queen. But they're just a group. So I'm kind of looking there. Nope. In there. These are all nurse bees that don't fly, most likely. That's why they're kind of down here. If there was a mated queen in this grass, there would be bees with her by now. So I'm looking for groupings. And also, just look at every bee you can focus your eyes on and look for your queen. You can come back in half an hour. And if they found her, if she's on the ground, they're going to be with her. That 5 minutes was probably enough. I don't see her down here. So this could be good news that I didn't shake her out. I'm just continuing to look. There's a few more bees down here. They're still kind of stumbling around after being disoriented. Okay, so I'm going to say she's not down here. Now there's a cluster of bees here. Let's just kind of see if she's hanging on the outside. Nope, not in that little handful. No, these are just the bees that are looking to find their way back in. If she'd fallen like on this board, she might have walked around and they could be kind of clustering on her outside trying to get her to go back in. That's why I'm checking this. So she could have fallen on this board. She could have fallen on the side. She could have fallen anywhere if she was on that frame. And they're going to be where she is. There's a lot of bees down here. I don't see any other clusters. I really probably don't need my veil right now, but I'm just gonna leave it on because they may get irritated, especially when you're digging around in the grass for them. Okay, so sort of good news. She's not in a cluster of bees down here. She could be buried deeper and they're going to be looking for her. Okay, see this? I don't know if I can zoom in enough for you to see it from where you are. They're fanning. That fanning now tells me she's out here, not in there. They could be calling their sisters back too. But more than likely, that fanning is an indication of they've sensed that she's not in there. So now I'm continuing to look for clusters of bees now that I see fanning. Okay. I normally might give up right about now and walk away, but this is turning into an interesting lesson. So I'm going to keep going. We're going to go back into that hive and kind of see what's going on. If she was on the bottom, she might be on her frame now. They're not fanning on the top, so she might be walking around on her frame. Don't drop it, Chuck. Inner monologue, reminding yourself how to be a good beekeeper. Remember about your feet. Don't step on your queen when you don't know where she is if you dropped her. All right, everybody, I looked for that queen for probably 30 minutes. And there's a couple things that could have happened. She could have dropped down there on the ground, and I looked for her, looked for a ball of bees. She could have walked into a hive next door. I looked in there looking for them, kind of aggressively looking at a queen that was there, or if there was an additional queen in there, that would have been a clue. And the other thought I had was, you know, she's young, she's a young mated queen, maybe she flew back to where she was mated. Well, guess what? Ha! You're not gonna believe this. That's why I'm bringing you with me, because I'm just gonna show you. So I came back over here to my boxes. I got remove queen, remove queen, remove queen. Well, in this box right here, guess who I found? I'm sticking you with me there. Hold on a second. I know. You already know what's going to happen now, but look, I'm going to show you. So I went in here. It said remove queen on the 12th. That's 2 days ago. That's what those notes are good for. Because I went in here and on this back frame, I know she's in here because I just did this and I went and restarted the camera because I had given up. And I looked in here, and they were tight around her. She could be on one of these frames too, but I'm going pretty quick. She's in this box. She's on that frame. They were so tight around her, and they were like, where have you been? There, oh, look, I can see them right now. See the way they're behaving right here? See that? They were really tight like that. And they were tight right around her. Well, she's not there at the moment. I know I just saw her. So I went to get the camera to show you guys. I know she's in here. They were just balled up around her. Not like trying to kill her, but like, where have you been? Because they were queenless. They're starting to make queens, queen cells already in this hive. There she is.
There's my blue queen. They came back to where she was mated because she's still young enough to fly. So, all's well that ends well. I looked for her in here a little while longer, but I pulled her out so quick to show you guys. So, those were the places I could look, and I found her. And I'm going to take her back over there and stick her in the hive where she needs to be. Now, granted, these guys are, golly, talk about false hope. She came home. No, she didn't. They're going to be really confused over the next day or so. It won't take them too long, but in any case, that's the end of the queen saga. She flew back to where she was mated, and I had these mini mating nukes marked, remove queen. There are only four of them, if you remember from yesterday. So I'm going to go put her back in the hive. Anyway, if you enjoy this content or these kind of drama stories that I somehow create, click like and subscribe. Let me know what you think in the comments. And as always, if you got a lesson to teach me, please leave a comment below. I love learning from you guys and girls. Have a great day, everybody. I'm loving this story ending well. Have a great day.